Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about Latin American Spider-Man, something that you don't even know about. And of course, know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Hello.
And also with us is one of the experts in Latin American arts, Pablo Prano.
Hi there.
And as always, we're going to start with the solicitations. Let's take a look here. We have... you see anything that you picked up this week, JT?
Actually, I'm broke this week, so I didn't even get to the store.
Okay, well, let me first
say... Oh, dear God.
Well, let me first say, I hate God is Dead.
What is God is Dead?
It is a comic about where all the mythological gods come back and they start killing each other.
Sorry, repeat, please. I didn't hear what it was about, because I was being... shocked by the reaction of one of the artists here who actually knows the artist of God is Dead.
It's about all the medieval gods coming back, all the mythological gods coming back to life and being killed in horrifying, gory ways just so the writer can say at the end, see, isn't atheism better?
So
well, it's the house that Garth Ennis built, so.
Oh, wait, it's Garth Ennis doing the script?
No, it's just Avatar Press.
Oh, Avatar Press is a weird editorial. I mean, it sort of... I really don't understand how it works. Because it's like, what if Antarctic Press had no personality whatsoever? That would be Avatar Press to me.
Okay, moving on.
Let's put it this way. They published a comic from Garth Ennis where the Antichrist was best friends with Jesus.
Antichrist?
Faith.
Was best friends
with Jesus. Yeah, and Jesus got...
Wow.
Garth Ennis, you never saw that the one? Book of Mormon?
The Book of Mormon.
Would put it past them.
Anyways, moving on, we have...
Art of Joseph White. Volume what? 1.
Which book?
Yeah, Antarctic Press is putting out Art of Joseph White. It's actually a book that they kickstarted for. It's called Arclight, if I'm not mistaken, and it's pretty neat because Joseph White has a big portfolio of work. That even includes Star Wars, because he was the one in charge for not only the color, but the mechanical designs for the American covers of the Star Wars manga editions that had Adam Warren doing the character work.
Ah, as long as a big green bunny didn't show up, I think JT's okay with it.
Oh. Yep.
Moving on, we have some Dark Horse here with some Lobster Johnson.
Oh, Lobster Johnson.
We got the core, a pint and shot glass.
Oh, you know Neil's going to be buying that.
We got
actually the new Ghost came out, which.
Oh, we got the Star Wars Lucas Draft hardcover deluxe box set edition.
Deluxe box set edition.
Because
for only
$100. It's Star Wars. Of course, they're going to come with a deluxe edition.
Yeah, but...
And then it'll be the Super Uppercut. Ultra Tiger Edition.
Tiger Blood. Tiger Uppercut.
Now with even more Ewoks. I don't know.
Yeah, but if you buy that edition, you'll be winning. So...
Anyways, we got some DC Comics where they have the horrible new Batgirl costume.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 34. I thought the 35 was the debut of
what?
That.
Why? Because I knew that Gail Simone was up to issue 33. I think that...
Well, 34 is by Gail Simone, so JT is right. The sucky costume starts next month.
Oh.
But
yeah, I flipped through.
We have Birds of
Prey
number
34,
final issue. We have Constantine number 17.
Constantine, right. Is there somewhere I can get my money back for Justice League Dark? Because I actually had to... I actually paid for all three of the first trade paperbacks, and I just wanted to kill myself. Because I just wanted to read a comic book that actually had Satana after the, you know, the New 52.
Sorry, Pablo, you bought that with your own money of your own free will, and you'll have to suffer with that black mark on your soul.
Yeah. But it sucks so much! The artist even traced from 3D!
Superboy number 34, where they continue shitting on the legacy of what was once a great character.
Yeah, is it, are we still having the murdering son of the future coming back and posing as the murdering clone of the present, of the alternate reality of Superman? No, no, because...
Moving on!
Okay.
did release a new printing of Preacher Volume 5. I mean, Preacher was a damn good story.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis, but it was Garth Ennis I can get behind.
Preacher's like Watchmen, and it's literally a good story. Literarily, it's a good story. Objectively, it is a good story. It is a good book, but it doesn't deserve the hype it gets.
What does?
Preacher.
No, I'm just asking, what really does deserve the hype it has around it? What good story actually lives up to its hype?
Moving on. let's see here. We got some Legend of Zorro. I know JT's in
Legend of Zorro.
Lady Zorro.
Legend of Zorro or Lady Zorro?
Lady Zorro.
Yeah.
Which I know JT.
Let me put it this way, Ben. Let me put it this way. I flipped through the first issue at the store. It made me want to read Grimm Fairy Tales.
Well,
and anyone who listens to the show...
There's not enough cheesecake or there's too much cheesecake here?
Well, that's what I said from day one with the show, Pablo. Is like, any guy who says he reads Grimm Fairy Tales from Xenoscope for the story is lying.
Well,
that's like saying he only reads Playboy for the articles. No, sir, you're there for
the details. I mean, I know he puts efforts into it and he's actually a good character storyteller. But I'll be honest, I that wouldn't be the first reason why I would buy a Grimm Fairy Tales comic.
Well, and I'm not saying that the story... I'm just saying... Like, I'm not saying, you know, the creators aren't doing a good book. I'm saying the guy on the street, you know, walks in and sees that Grimm Fairy Tales version of Robin Hood with the sexy blonde archer and all that. He's like, ooh, that's going to be a good story. No, you're looking at that the way most guys look at Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. That's
just
there
saying.
Is nothing wrong with that. Moving on, we have some.
The new Legendary was out.
I was going to mention the Red Sonja.
Well, there's a Red Sonja in Legendary.
Oh, Ben, I finally bought the Red Sonja Spider-Man crossover book. It actually has both crossovers and a Michael Turner cover. Which I know you hate, but I really like Michael Turner. He's one of the reasons why I...
He draws the same face.
I know, but it's a nice face.
But
he's cut you there, Ben.
But what did you think of that whole, you know, Mary Jane thing?
Well, I know they're both different versions, because in one it's just whoever possesses the sword, and the other she's the actual incarnation, but, you know, it's...
Both times when she picks up the sword, she becomes Red Sonja.
Well, here's the thing. We all know that in Marvel Comics, all redheads look the same. Yes, I'm not being a stereotypical racist bastard, first of all, because I get the...
Gingers have no soul.
But no, it's clear. What Wolverine, every time he sees Mary Jane, he confuses her for Jean Grey. And every time that Jean Grey crosses the path of, I don't recall which other redhead, but Madeline Pryor wasn't exactly a Jean Grey clone before. He was just another redhead. And Black Widow, at one point, was said that she looked like Mary Jane as well. Which means that every redhead in the Marvel Universe looks exactly the same.
You forgot what's her name? You forgot what's her name that hangs out with Misty Knight?
Oh, Power Man's...
Colleen Wing.
Yeah. She probably looks like Mary Jane as well.
I don't think so.
Actually,
say all of this like it's a bad thing.
I don't think Colleen Wing looks like Mary Jane at all. Number one, she's half Asian. Number two, she doesn't have the artillery.
Just in case,
Colleen Wing's always used the sword, Ben. I don't think she's ever really used guns.
Women. But they're cool with stuff like that, but still.
Did she run over the Hulk?
Who ran over the Hulk?
Well, in that Colleen Wing picture that Ben posted in the chat. Looks like she ran over the Hulk.
Colleen Wing.
So moving on, further down the list, we have
maybe the Grey Hulk.
We have some IDW here with some Judge with some Judge Dredd Anderson side division. We got some TMNT with art by Eastman.
The origin in the IDW comic, God, I have to go back and read a crap ton of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics after seeing that movie. Ever felt your brain trek all out the back of your head? Yes, I paid money to see that.
Eastman actually draws the fucking golf ball.
What?
I think we're all confused with that statement, Ben.
Kevin Eastman, his cover of the IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman draws the fucking golf ball.
Oh. Okay.
Oh,
I'm bringing it up here.
For B, right?
The Technotron.
The golf ball.
The evil golf ball. I really like the design they've gone with for Shredder on the IDW run. Maybe it's probably that red sort of scarfy cape. Most of my favorite characters wear them at one point.
Oh, it makes him almost look like one of the Riders, doesn't it?
Yes. But that's just because I have this weird fixation on motorcycle riding, grasshopper, mutant cyborg.
They're patterned after bugs.
Anyways, let's move further down. We got a couple of Image comics here. We got Sex Criminals here for JT. We got
Sex Criminals?
We got Walking Dead, which should...
You've never read that one, Pablo?
Walking Dead. See, the thing is this: I don't like Walking Dead because Walking Dead is basically the author going. He actually literally did this. He went to Romero and said, "Can I play in your playground, please?" And Romero said, "Yeah, fine, whatever." And that's what Walking Dead is. It's Robert Kirkman going to George Romero saying, "Can I play in your playground, please?" And Romero going, "Sure, whatever. Fuck it, I don't care."
But I think Pop was talking about Sex Criminals. Was that what you were? Did you say Pop?
Yeah,
it's
what's Sex
Criminals? This guy and a girl. It's this guy and a girl find each other, and it's whenever they do it with anybody else, time stops, and they can go out in the world and do whatever. It's like that scene in X-Men: Days of Future Past with Quicksilver. They can do whatever they want, and they find each other, and then there's some weird time police aspect gets thrown into it. It's kind of weird.
You don't say.
Sounds like something, it's not like that, but reminds me of...
Simpsons did it!
No, not Simpsons did it, just...
But they did.
There was this Jeff Smith was doing a comic that sort of had the sort of vibe that JT's description of this comic makes me feel like. I'm not saying it's the same or anything at all. It's just like, it's sort of like supernatural romance drama, interdimensional traveling, policial mystery thriller stuff. That's something like that. For me. I should check.
Thriller. Anyways, let's move down, further down.
We got Marvel.
We got some Marvel here, where we continue the saga of this new Spider-Girl that they totally didn't need to create.
Wait, what new
Spider-Girl? But they did anyhow.
Okay,
Amazing...
Let me do this, JT. I gotta enjoy this.
Oh, come on.
Let me do this.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Dan Slott proved that there was something further down beneath the bottom of his barrel.
I like Dan Slott's work in general.
Let me continue.
No, he's just, believe me, Pablo, this is Ben's moment to shine.
Okay, shine on, you shining star. Shine your
shooting star. Okay, anyways.
You son of a bitch.
Go and try for the moon, Ben.
Okay, anyways, Ezekiel shows up again as a recording, and he tells Peter Parker to remember back in the day that he was bitten by the spider, and Peter remembers, wait a minute, this spider bit a classmate of mine who was this Asian chick, and I don't remember what happened to her, finds out that she has been locked in like a basement by Ezekiel for like 20 years. And,
Ezekiel's an asshole.
And so she comes out and she's wearing a costume made out of her own spider silk, and she calls herself Silk, and they fight each other, and their Spire senses start going haywire, and they start having angry sex on a roof.
Well, you don't know they had sex, Ben. They just started hardcore making out. Let's be fair.
Wait, Peter and this Silk?
Silk.
Yes.
Yeah. You know Spider-Man, right, Pablo?
I know Spider-Man, yeah.
Okay. Remember there was that dude, Morlun, who was like this vampire who ate Totemic's animal powers that JMS had created during his run? Well, they're bringing him back with this Spider-Verse thing, and they're weaving it into Amazing Spider-Man, and the whole idea now is that Peter letting Silk out of this vault is what's going to bring Morlun back, and yeah.
Well, the thing is this, in the latest issue, they pretty much say that all they're doing when they're not investigating things is just humping.
Marvel Comics, classy.
So let's move further down the list. There was these original Sin comics are getting out of hand, including there was this one issue Marvel did. Where, like Hulk versus Iron Man, where they revealed that Tony Stark was paid with scotch to fuck with
booze.
The gamma bomb.
Really?
And it turns out he actually did kind of fix it, because I read that series. Basically, what happened is the way Banner originally had it built would have made the bomb more powerful. So what Tony did to futz with it that resulted in the creation of the Hulk actually saved lives. But Hulk can never know that, because then he'll really be pissed.
And we don't want to see him mad.
So the thing with this is Tony was so fucking drunk when he fixed the bomb that he didn't remember this for like 20 years.
Wow.
Although he sent an email to Banner, but at the time he was such a dick to Banner. Banner's like, email from Tony Stark, delete.
There's this thing about the Marvel Universe that I always sort of find funny enough, but I sort of understand why it happens, which is like, yes, everything that just happened in the Marvel Universe 30 years ago just happened 5 years ago. And that's when, you know, Captain America and Spider-Man meet up. Yeah, it's like The Simpsons, yeah, but, Spider-Man and Captain America meet up, and then they go like, oh, Spider-Man, so, I got your text. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, and the Hulk's a genius again in the comics.
Titans show edition, you know, where...
Let's move further down the list. We got some Sheena from Moonstone.
Sheena?
Yes.
There's a Sheena comic going on?
Yes.
Awesome.
Sheena, yeah. Queen of the Jungle. It's
no. It's Sheena. Sheena, Queen
Not
of the
Shauna, the She-Devil. It's Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
No, I wasn't talking about Shauna. I was talking about Xena, the warrior princess. But it's clearly none of... Lucy Lawless, exactly. But it's okay. Yeah, I knew about Sheena.
Okay, moving on. We got a bunch of like random stuff here from some random publishers. It's nothing I would have really hunted out this week.
Anderson, Psy Files, Volume 4, Trade Paperback, Not Verified by Diamond.
Not Verified by Diamond.
Not Verified by Diamond.
Oh,
Diamond
the new...
is not distributing it.
Got it.
There's the new... From Oni Press, there's the new colorized hardcover of the Scott Pilgrim series, which I've got
series.
Them all because I love that.
Fuck
you, Ben.
If the director got to do the thing I think he wanted to do, I would say that this is the greatest franchise ever, but he didn't, so fuck that series.
you're not a fan.
That's what he actually came to do. That probably was just a joke. Like, you know, when Kevin Smith keeps saying that Jennifer Garner ruined his friendship with Ben Affleck, which we all know might be true, but he doesn't want to officially say it, because that would be bad.
Moving on, we have Zetascope Entertainment with JT's favorite reading material. Never underestimate cat crab soft cover.
Inferno Rings of Hell. That's sort of, like, redundant, isn't it? It's like the dying deaths of death.
The curse of fatal death.
Well, if you look under, honestly, never underestimate a hermit crab. Okay, that has my attention. And I looked at the description on TFAW. I love this. Behind those shells, they are adventurous astronauts, dancing disco dynamos, and simply love being stylish. Really? Well, if I didn't know better, Ben, I'd swear you're screwing with me.
And on that note, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we will have the topic of the show.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good grief.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back to talk about Latin American Spider-Man comics. To give a brief intro to this, I will just give a very brief intro. Back in the 70s and 80s... Marvel comics were being, you know, were being translated and republished in the Latin American markets, but it was found that the time delay of, you know, sending them over, having them retranslated and reprinted, could be up to 3 to 4 months, maybe more. So, you know, to keep their market interested, Marvel commissioned artists and writers from Latin America to create additional Spider-Man issues to, like, filler up these gaps. And it got to the point where there was a Latin American Spider-Man continuity that was becoming very different than what we had regular in the United States, including an issue where Peter Parker marries Gwen Stacy. I'm going to let Pablo take it from here. Pablo?
Well, the thing is, like, just like you said, it wasn't just, you know, the delays on the translation and stuff. It was also because of just, you know, it was sort of more of a weekly magazine. And they sort of tried to work around it at first by publishing other material, like, for instance, Ant-Man comics and stuff. But eventually they had run out of the material, so they had to produce their own, and they hired one artist called Jose Luis Duran, who was the one in charge for everything.
Pablo, you're coming in a little soft. Sorprendente
Hombre Araña.
I will get closer to my mic, man.
Okay.
I have to hide my but now, by a minute. Jose Luis Duran was the Mexican artist who actually did both the scripting duties and also the art duties for all the new Mexican exclusive Spider-Man issues. They started around the issue 130 or so, but they sort of, they were mostly one-shots, and at first they didn't trust him enough to, you know, just go all out with his own style, so they asked him to basically trace and cut and paste different older Romita and even Kirby comics in order to achieve the Marvel style that was required back in those days, because this was the 70s. And one of those things that came out was that eventually they started, you know, seeing these recycled art things and how he was handling the parts that just weren't there. So they eventually started trusting him, and one thing they gave him was a spin-off series for younger readers called Aranita, which means Spidey, sort of. Hershey Spidey. Yeah, because it's...
We can barely hear you, Pablo. Can you readjust your volume?
They're telling me that there's an issue, a Latin American issue of Spider-Man that was just called Spider. It was
Araña in English.
Araña in English. Ah, you. Oh, but you're talking about the new Spider-Girl, right? Wasn't Spider-Girl? No, but it was Araña, but it was like, yes, she eventually became Spider-Girl, actually. Oh, spoiler, damn it! Sorry. But still, there was an Araña, but no, this is Aranita, which means Spidey, which was this younger reader version of Spider-Man, which had a high schooler, Peter Parker, who seemed very not interested in the extremely corny Mary Jane Watson for a girlfriend he had back then. And, you know, Mary Jane is actually very eager to be with this young, extremely nerdy Peter Parker, because this is, you know, glasses and hair gel Peter Parker back then. And she's like, oh, Peter, isn't this amazing? We should come out more often here. He's like, yes, Mary Jane, clearly this place has a beautiful side and stuff like that. I'm not talking about the side, Peter. I'm talking about you and me right now. Yes, in this beautiful place. Look at the rocks. It's an amazing minerals and stuff like that. And the thing was that the master, Jose Luis Duran, would render these gorgeous go-go girls from the 70s with extremely miniskirts and also poses and even panty shots entirely drawn into it. And even if they were or weren't in the comic, you know, half a page would be taken up by this blonde girl who wasn't Gwen Stacy or any other character in the comic, but just was walking by. It was like, it was just a page about Mary Jane and Peter Parker talking, and mostly Mary Jane whining because Peter Parker wouldn't pay any attention to her in a more romantic sense. While these other blonde girls just, you know, standing there, she's out of panel, taking half the page, and not even having any lines to say or any interaction with either Peter Parker or Mary Jane. But there she is, being gorgeously drawn, especially her butt. But then again, this was just, you know, the younger readers. This was sort of a spin-off. It was out of continuity. I don't understand why he was with Mary Jane when he was that young. But still, getting back to the actual Amazing Spider-Man continuity that was in line, most of the issues were fillers mostly. And again, at first with recycled art, but eventually they would allow for Jose Luis Duran to actually go all out and make entire new issues from scratch. And there's some very interesting ones there, some with some actual content and all. They were written mostly in the, you know, 70s Stan Lee way, in a matter of saying, you know, with captions describing some of the action and, you know, and characters describing what they're doing, like, I'm punching this so hard, but it doesn't seem to be working, and stuff like that. But then again, mostly were, you know, one-shots. But there have been some larger arcs, like two-issue stories, that involve, like, King Kong story rip-offs, where Gwen Stacy parachutes into what would be sort of Skull Island, but only with a large man instead of a large ape. But if we want apes, in one of the Araneta issues, we have this evil scientist that decides to use his powers for evil, and actually decides to dress up like one of the apes from Planet of the Apes. And I'm not, you know, making this up or making a comparison or a metaphor. This is quite, you know, literal. If this guy is reading a Planet of the Apes book and says, oh, I always admire this Planet of the Apes ape. I think he's evil and perfect. I should dress up like him and go out and make evil deeds.
Dr. Zeus.
And there's plenty of things that are like... there were many giant bug issues, and oh, there's also alien invasions, and there's this weird episode where Spider-Man actually takes one of the shrinking pills from the Chapulín Colorado.
No, 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 me muero.
Yes. The Chapulín Colorado is one of the characters from José Luis Bolaños.
Roberto
Gómez Bolaños, sorry. Who did El Chavo del Ocho. El Chavo del Ocho had an animated series recently by the same guys who did the animation for the Don Gato movie. And
no,
Cat.
No.
Yeah, but the thing is, The Simpsons actually make a parody of it, Franco Kermit. Not Franco, Lea, sorry about that. The bubbly man, you know, Bumblebee man in The Simpsons, which is this Mexican actor, comedian, that is dressed like a giant bug, that's a parody from El Chapulín Colorado, who is actually one of Mexico's great comedy heroes. And the thing is that his one power, apart from showing up from the most unexpected places, like, you know, the Inspector Gadget's boss or something, he had these pills that were called Chiquitolina pills that would shrink him into, you know, atom size almost. Well, not atom size, but mouse size. But, you know, it
next
was like an atom power. And there's this one, there's an issue here where Spider-Man is trapped and he's like, oh, shrinking pills. Of course, I'll just take one of those and then wait for the guy to return. And that's how he lets loose. He just takes some shrinking pills that were just lying around there in this abandoned warehouse. He shrinks, and then this tiny Spider-Man actually ambushes the criminals that were out of this place. There's also this issue where the Green Goblin abducts Aunt May, but she has the sexiest legs ever for a 70-year-old. I guess he was recycling some art from, you know, the night when Stacy died or something like that, but then swapped Aunt May's face on her. But you know, it was a very, very sexy old lady. And then, and which
next
is a weird thing, because I'm not sure the doctor at a hospital.
Pablo, next thing you're going to tell me is Santo shows up eventually.
Yeah. No, but there's still a Santo connection because José Luis Duran actually started doing the covers for the Santo, the Silver Mask Man comic books. So there's actually a connection. Who did show up was a trio of, or maybe an army of the, you know, evil bad girls called Las Satanicas. You know, the Satanists or something like that, who actually looked a lot like Bad Girl. And I wouldn't be amazed if they trade something. You know, the comic book is very weird because the cover actually has a Vampirella ripoff on the cover wearing yellow clothes instead of red. But then inside there's no sign of that girl, but there's plenty of other ripoff girls that are sort of like Catwoman-ish in some way. And there's some, like, robot duplicates. There's plenty of robots there. There's actually an issue where Peter Parker boxes Harry Osborn because of an android that is hijacked, but has an electronic brain that, given enough information, would find out Peter Parker's identity as a Spider-Man. And the only way to distract them from all this happening was to have a boxing match with Harry Osborn, because I guess that's just how you fix things in high school all the time. Which
okay,
is weird because
here's a weird question for you, Pablo. I'm just wondering this because I've always wondered this. What do they call black tarantula in Latin America?
Well, that's the thing, because there's plenty of heroes that are called black something. Most of the time they're just called something negro. Black Lightning is Rayo Negro here, and that's just because, you know, the word is for black is negro, and that's pretty much it. It's not, but if you go to Google Translate and you translate forward and then backward and stuff like that, you end up with, you know, Tumblr on a riot. But but Black Tarantula, I think it's called Tarantula Negra here. But there's some character names that stay in English, mostly the new characters, because back in the day when they were translating and localizing all of the
comics everywhere. That's how we got Bruno Díaz. Gracias, Bruno.
Bruce Wayne here, it was called Bruno Díaz. Dick Grayson was called Ricardo Tapia. However, by the time Barbara Gordon came around, she was just Barbara Gordon.
No, I think she was called Barbara Fierro.
Yeah. Yeah, Commissioner Gordon here was Commissioner Fierro, which means iron. Oh, no, that the worst part is Flash. Because the thing is, here in Argentina, there was a gossip magazine called Flash. And the thing was that they went and actually issued some weird sue against the guys who were going to publish the Flash comic book, the Wally West years, actually. And they went, oh, you can't call him Flash. We have the rights for the Flash world here. So instead of doing something sort of intelligent and just calling him Flashman, which only would give to some weird confusions with the Sentai, they actually went with Flushman. F-L-U-S-H-M-A-N. And that's how they refer to Flash here, as Flushman. Which is so weird in so many levels.
So let's talk about the big continuity shaker in the Latin American Spider-Man series.
Oh,
the marriage of Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, but we were informed that Peter Parker had actually married Gwen Stacy, and that was like a big continuity issue and all that. But I actually got to find the actual issue where that happens, which has this cover where Gwen Stacy is wearing the least appropriate wedding costume ever.
It's like 70s. Something you would it's buy. It's the 70s. It's totally cool. It's the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, the thing is that it was just a dream in the same issue. Again, it was just a one shot. But it wasn't exactly a dream. You know, Peter Parker is battling the Green Goblin and then he gets knocked out and starts talking in his sleep. And the Green Goblin suddenly just sits down and starts listening to what he's saying about that.
That sounds fucked up.
And it's just, you know, Peter Parker
that's
going,
messed
oh,
up on
I'm
a level.
Marrying Gwen, but I shouldn't be marrying Gwen. But if I marry Gwen, should I stop being Spider-Man because she hates Spider-Man? I don't know. It's like, so it doesn't really happen as I thought it would. And as we were actually told it would. But no, he doesn't marry Gwen Stacy. It was all just a dream in the same issue. It's not like something they had to retcon or have Superboy punch the walls of reality again or anything like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But no, the thing is that there was an interesting thing here. I actually found an issue called The Riot of the Blacks. It's La Rebelión de los Negros, which is sort of set in the Bronx with, you know, African-American gangs.
Rebel in the Bronx?
And then the thing is that Spider-Man, well, it being the 70s and being Mexico, the language isn't the best when it comes to political correctness as to the describing of stuff. Like, oh my God, look at all those black people. They're about to get violent. I should do something about that. But the thing is that suddenly...
I am resisting the urge to be topical right now, but let's move on.
Well, the thing is that suddenly Captain America shows up, which is sort of weird because, you know, Captain America wasn't just jumping around alleys back in the day.
He was also partnered with the Falcon back in the day.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that this Captain America wasn't actually Steve Rogers. It was a black Captain America. It was actually the teacher, the school teacher, from one of the black kids who was being pushed into joining a gang. So he decided that the best way to help him without compromising his identity and actually being a figure of power, being recognized by both the criminals and the student he was trying to save, he decided to buy a Captain America costume and go out and try to, you know, do his part. So we actually had a black Captain America with an official black Captain America name wearing the actual Captain America costume like 40 years before the Falcon eventually became the Captain America.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And all in Mexico, ladies and gentlemen.
And this was official because, again, this was something that was licensed by Marvel.
Marvel sanctioned.
It had to be approved by Marvel offices. And since José Luis Durán had actually won some sort of contest back in the day and went up there and showed his portfolio, he was approved at first again with some guidelines and actually people asking him to basically trace or copy some stuff. But eventually he's a very capable artist that does some great stuff. And, you know, he actually did plenty of work and wasn't afraid of actually being a bit... you know, just taking social issues with it. It was pretty amazing. His name is José Luis Durán. You should all go, you know, look for some of his art. He actually had like three nicknames because he would do both the lettering, the art, and the script. So he would be Art by Durán, Script by Durín, and Lettering by Durán, or something like that. He wasn't that creative when it came to nicknames.
Sounds like he was a workhorse.
Well, he was pulling two series at the same time and filling in for all the comics that weren't actually getting there to Mexico back in the day. So I hear he retired, though, but he's a highly capable artist. He could be perfectly working right now. But then again, considering that many highly capable older artists aren't getting work right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't, which is a pity, because art and stuff. But that's pretty much it.
You know, always look to I always look to Latin America for really good girl art, and looks like he was really good at it.
Yeah, he was really, really good at good girl art. He was on the level of the Brazilians, in my opinion, because we all know the Brazilians have these weird powers to actually draw gorgeous women.
They just look out the window.
Yeah, the references are just out there, and we all know you have that thing for that girl in Brazil in that Incredible Hulk movie.
Have you seen her?
Yes, I did. I do have. I actually completed recently my entire Phase 1 collection of all Marvel movies on DVD original. Yeah, excuse me. I just started Phase 2, guys. But yeah, I need to get Winter Soldier. It's out on DVD right now.
So let's see, is there anything else you could tell us about Latin American Spider-Man?
Well, we had aliens, we have shrinking pills, we have lots of panty shots, we had a really extremely horny Mary Jane Watson, we had a trio of robot evil bad girls, we had a Vampirella ripoff on a cover, we had a wedding that was not a wedding, we had, what else, a black Captain America before there were black Captain Americas out there. Also, what else? Robots, aliens, giant bugs, you know, rip-off art, great original art, an interesting concept of what younger readers means in Mexico.
I think he was going for the artsy demographic.
Yeah, 13-year-olds especially.
I gotta ask you one thing, Pablo. Like, in addition to all like the crazy villain, like the robot bad girls and the not Vampirella, were there any like original supervillains created for some of these issues that could maybe like translate to North American audiences?
Well, there's, for instance, something weird. One of the first issues that was made, you know, entirely in Mexico was called El Hombre de Hierro, which actually means, which is actually the Spanish name we have for Iron Man, but it wasn't Iron Man. It was like it's a character that actually looked more like Deadman crossed with Daredevil and, you know, maybe a bit of Silver Surfer. But he was called El Hombre de Hierro up there. Then we had this hijacked cyborg computer robot called El Cerebro Electrónico, which means the electronic brain. I already mentioned Las Satanistas, which was the evil bad girl trio there. What other original villain was there? There was this Planet of the Apes guy whose name was a Planet of the Apes ape name. So I can really,
Dr.
you know.
Wasn't Zeus?
No, it wasn't
Dr. Zeus.
It was a more
Zeus.
Evil.
Damn it! Dr. Zeus.
Exist. Yeah, we're all core in it. Dude.
That was a Brad Bird episode.
Yeah. Back in the day. And they had Troy McClure and all.
I think actually Conan wrote that episode too.
Back in the day where the Reds were great. Again, there was plenty of issues that had either original villains or reused villains, as usual, in new, innovative ways. I have a weird name translation. Kingpin. Kingpin here, in these issues, was called the pin, the needle pin, el alfiler. Yes, they called Kingpin el alfiler here. Which means needle, or just needle pin, or just
yeah, pin. Because he looks like a needle.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
It's just wow.
Yeah, and what other name?
Did the Prowler ever show up?
They gave almost an entire issue to J. Jonah Jameson, and there's even one of the issues where Spider-Man actually helps clear out the name for Nick Fury, who was accused of treason back in his Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. days, actually. His name there was Nick Furia. Because, you know, that's as far as they went with the translation. They didn't want Nicolas Furia. They just say that Nick Fury. Nicolas Furia. That should be like an artist's surname, nickname, forename, whatever.
Spanish forename.
Yeah, there's definitely a Spanish forename there. But that's pretty much it. I can't recall anything else right now at the moment, but that's pretty much all I can recall from the issues I could get. There's a blog dedicated specifically to the comics printed by this editorial that was called La Prensa. But the thing is that most of the links are dead. But if you actually use Google to try to find the actual file names, you'll find them and you can download them. But there's a few descriptions of what the episodes are. And there's a pretty nifty collection of covers there, so it deserves just a peek or something like that.
Excellent. Oh, but before we go, on a slightly related Spider-Man note, I just want to needle Pablo just one more time. Ultimate Peter Parker is indeed truly back.
Really?
Yes. And Miles really? Morales is joining the X-Men, and Peter Parker is going to be back being Spider-Man.
But can we at least blame this on the Spider-Verse event?
No, you blame this on Brian Michael Bendis.
But what promised he wouldn't bring him back?
He's back.
No, that's not what he promised.
Just like
he said, well, if we bring
Pablo,
back,
look at it Peter this Parker way:
from, we're officially out of ideas, so they're officially out of ideas.
But look at it this way,
now,
Pablo. For years, it was accepted as gospel.
Wait,
it was
hey,
for
what,
years
what
it was accepted as gospel that only Uncle Ben and Bucky stayed in. We all know that's not true anymore.
Yeah, neither Jason nor Bucky. That's sad. Well, they were brought back in a good way. I just don't see the good way to bring back Peter Parker here.
What Uncle Ben was brought back as a murderer.
Is Miles going to keep calling himself Spider-Man, or is he going to become the Black Spider or something like that? And I don't mean that in a very racist way or anything. I just mean because his suit is black, okay?
He's going to become an X-Men, so he's probably going to just be called
Miles. No. You know, Jean Grey gets stuck with the least superheroish name of all.
Her name was Marvel Girl.
Yeah, but was there a rights issue or something when they did the 90s animation series? Because it was
no,
like,
the thing is, the people who adapted the series did not know her code name was Marvel Girl.
I don't know.
The people who adapted the series are not comic book fans. They did not know her code name was Marvel Girl.
Really?
Yes.
Because they even managed to actually pull out an actual logo with her name. It's like, I mean, I wish I had Pablo
Prime.
They
made that one up. Her code name was Marvel Girl. And the thing is, like I said, they aren't fans of her, so they didn't know her code name was Marvel Girl, because they were like, Jean Grey, did we do any research on her? No? Okay, she's Marvel Girl. The thing is, there's been a couple of Marvel Girls. I think even Rachel went by Marvel Girl for a while.
Yeah, she did.
And I think Victoria Von Doom went by Marvel Girl for a while.
Victoria Von Doom? Who was Victor Von Doom? I recall Valeria, which was the other girl, you know, the baby girl from...
Yeah,
the
Valeria Von Doom, pardon me.
Oh.
Yeah, from the post-Heroes Reborn run of Fantastic Four.
I for some reason, I thought Victoria for some reason, but I was wrong.
It was Valeria. Yeah. Yes.
But she was Marvel Girls for a while, too. It's a Marvel Girls is a title. It just sort of floats around.
Well, that's the thing with most licensed IPs and stuff like that. It's like, we have to use it on someone. So, legacy characters for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Valeria was Marvel Girl for a while.
I just finished reading the first volume of Matt Fraction's Fantastic Four with, you know, the replacement Fantastic Four with Scott Lang as a lead, and that was fun. I liked that. And I also finished...
Johnny Storm's girlfriend?
Yeah? What?
Well, it's just saying that Johnny Storm's girlfriend was Miss Thing.
Yeah, that, I thought that one. Yes.
So to let's wrap up now. It's since we've covered the topic, we hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about this rare find in Marvel continuity.
Presente Hombre Araña.
And like I said, it's actually official. This is Marvel sanctioned. This isn't like some people doing some weird fan comic. This is Marvel sanctioned. This is official. So this is your host Ben,
and JT from Saskatoon.
I'm Pablo Prino, and with all the other gorsome, awesome artists from the La Chusa Hostel. Well, actually, let's make a real run here. No, say your name out loud.
Franco Biglino.
Hi, I'm Lea Caballero.
Well...
Kirila Santana.
Gala Seijo from all the back. And we have our friend Daniel here, who... actually fell asleep during the run, but he's giving a thumbs up. So that's pretty much every artist here at the La Lechuza Hostel, because the others went out for our drinks while we were here.
All right, and we are saying good night.
Good night.
Good night.
So long.